because they know when you've made a mistake. And if you pretend you didn't, they're going to start losing trust and respect for you.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Philip Hatterman. Phil is a yoga instructor here in Kansas City. How are we doing today, Phil?
Doing great.
Thanks for coming on. I'm pretty excited to learn about your company and what you do as far as yoga for athletes and just yoga in general. Can you tell us a little detail about what your career is as far as yoga goes and what you do on a daily or weekly basis?
The short story of how I got started in yoga is that my wife and I have a massage therapist that we've been going to for literally a couple decades. And yeah. She was always telling us, you should try yoga. You would love yoga. It would make my job easier as a massage therapist. You'd get more bang for your buck with your massage treatment if you are already coming in with your body in better shape and more body awareness. And I have been in sports and athletics all my life. And like yoga, please. And then a local studio had special for monthly unlimited. My wife and I are like, okay, we'll try it.
Yeah.
By the end of that month, I was hooked. It helped me to sleep better when I got out of bed in the morning. And when I started yoga, obviously I was much younger than I am now. My body would make noises when you get up. You know, you can hear the creaking in the joints, and that was gone of doing a month of yoga. And admittedly, it was a pretty intense month because it was unlimited and we want to get our money's worth. We went several times a week, and the instructors at that studio were great about making sure we didn't overload ourselves, that, well, if you're coming back tomorrow, this is the class you'll go to, because that'll help you recover from this one, that you're not doing something intense every day.
Right.
And so they took great care of us. So then we were hooked and we kept doing yoga. And that was in December of a year. And typically I would work on golf during the off season.
Yeah.
And I would target something specific, that this off season I'm working on generating more power and hitting my driver, or I'm going to focus on wedges or chipping and work on something specific, but not being a golf instructor, just taking things from golf magazines and it's like, oh, here's a lot of drills on chipping. I'll do that for December, January, February, and then in March, I'll be great at chipping. And I would improve marginally in those areas. But that winter that we did yoga, I didn't do any of that. My focus was on yoga. I was better at golf coming back in March than I had when I put my clubs away back in December.
Wow, yeah.
Because of all of the things in yoga that overlap with golf, the balance, the mobility, the stability that you need to stack your upper body on your lower body, and the shoulder hip separation, the mental focus, just breathing properly. All of that helped my golf game. It's like, okay, this is great. And then a couple of years later, I decided I'm going to get certified in yoga teaching just to advance my yoga practice.
Right.
And it did. And I did some teaching and taught at some studios. And then I found out about yoga for golfers. You can actually get certified level one, level two by Catherine Roberts. So I went to Scottsdale, Arizona a few times and got certified in yoga for golfers. Subsequently went back to her for certification in human performance for athletes, which is a more broad application of those same principles.
Right.
And I can give you all the background of yoga for golfers, but that's a much longer story. It was great for my golf game. And I tried teaching it in group sessions, going to local yoga studios and golf courses and saying, I'll set up for free. Just give me this time slot and we'll advertise it. And anybody who wants to just sample it, and if they like it and we get enough people, we'll have a regular class. And you can do that in a golf community like right. Scottsdale, Arizona. You could probably do it in Benton, Arkansas, huh. with all of the Walmart retirees and their golf courses.
Right.
Kansas City, the Venn diagram of golfers and people who get yoga doesn't overlap enough mm-hmm. really to get a lot of classes, but you do get individual students. So I'm focused primarily on just teaching private sessions at people's houses, or if their golf course will let me use space there. I have a golf simulator that I will use for some of my students, a select few of my students in my house. Eventually, and I'm not the only certified yoga for golfers instructor in Kansas City, eventually there'll be enough of us that when you say yoga for golfers, people know what you're talking about.
Right.
But if you said, I teach Glubelwoth, people just move on. It's like, well, what's Glubelwoth? Well, it's a word I just made up. But yoga for golfers has the same effect. It's like, I don't know what those words mean together, and I move on. People who already do yoga and golf get it.
Yeah.
But the people who are most in need of it, the middle-aged golfer who doesn't really have the flexibility or doesn't realize their balance is as bad as it is, doesn't realize for the last 40, 50 years their breathing patterns have not served them on the golf course or just in general. If you tell those people yoga for golfers would help you, their mind has already gone to, this is what a yoga studio looks like, because this is what I've seen on a TV show where a character goes to a yoga studio and it's a bunch of 20-year-old super fit people in their yoga pants doing splits and handstands, and that's not for them. It's like, well, and that's not what yoga for golfers is. So that's the battle we're fighting, but we're making headway.
That's cool. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So as far as schooling, you went to University of Nebraska, you got your communication degree, and you also went to University of Kansas, got your master's in arts and public address. How did you kind of choose those schools, and what kind of led you to yoga, I guess, teaching wise, through those degrees and some of your past job experiences?
The University of Nebraska was just an alignment of things based on the degrees they offered and scholarship opportunities that I had. And I grew up in Nebraska. It was just a good fit for me. I was originally a mathematics major.
Okay.
And I'd always been good in communication in school, but I think I was too close to it. I didn't think of it as a career.
Right.
So kind of like somebody who's really good at math doesn't realize, you know, you could do that for a living. Well, I majored in mathematics, but I wasn't as good at it at the college level as I was at the high school level. Okay. The challenges were a lot different. But the communication classes that I took as an elective because of my facility with it in high school, I realized this is where I want to be. This is what I enjoy. I find the challenges more rewarding, whereas with mathematics, I would overcome a challenge. It's like, yay, but I want to be done with that. And in communication, the challenges that you'd have, I would overcome them, figure something out, applying communication theory, and then I would be hungry for more. It's like, okay, then what's next? And so I finally realized switching majors, and then get the master's in communication. And I was working in higher ed at a variety of responsibilities, and then went into corporate training. Yep. So using my communication to communicate ideas, and then got into radio and media. So I've always enjoyed communicating and making a concept accessible to an audience.
Right.
Which just fit naturally when I was originally doing yoga for my own benefit. It was just a natural transition to, well, how can I share this? How can I make this accessible? And I would see that in the yoga training. There were people who liked the yoga and were going to be teachers because they loved yoga, Right. But I could tell they didn't love teaching. They didn't love communicating. They were very intimidated by just being in front of a group of people or even one-on-one sharing that information. And they wanted to do yoga and they were great at yoga. And in fact, probably much better at yoga than I was. But I was good at the communication aspect of it. And I think not being like a college gymnast or somebody who was already grounded in those principles, that it just was natural to me, I could appreciate what someone was feeling coming to a yoga class and being intimidated and not being super flexible, not having great balance. Mm-hmm. I had been there, and so I could empathize with them. So I still do media consulting, still am in that communication world, but then yoga is a part of it. And something I would tell anybody who wants to go into yoga professionally or any sort of healthcare or fitness, working with people, and maybe even any career, it needs to be something that you enjoy even if you're not getting paid for it.
Right.
Yeah. Don't undervalue what you do. Get paid because you need to be able to put food on the table and a roof over your head. But if you're stressed out by it, then you're going to be spending a lot of money on de-stressing instead of enjoying life. So it needs to be something that you would enjoy regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty powerful to say, you know, you have to be able to enjoy it and mm-hmm. passionate about it. So 2016, you got certified and you started your yin yoga as well as golf, yoga for golf in KC. What's a kind of day in the life or a week in the life? You know, you mentioned teaching at some of the studios or teaching one-on-one clients. How does a day in the life of a yoga or a week in the life of kind of a yoga instructor kind of look like for you?
For me, it's best that I don't have group classes. That fixed schedule would not fit my lifestyle. It would not fit with the other employment that I do. But I do have a flexible schedule with both the media consulting and with the yoga for golfers and private yin. So my typical week is I'll have a couple days where I'm doing a private yoga session with someone coming to my house. And then I have a free hour and a half where then I am online doing a media consulting appointment, having a conference call. And the addition of Zoom to everyone's lives and Microsoft Teams, Google Hangouts has made my life a lot easier because I only have to change my shirt instead of shirt and pants and then drive to someone's office to have a meeting or go to a coffee shop. And so, yeah, I'll teach a yoga class dressed like I would for golf and then have a meeting, not even change my shirt. A polo will work for both. And then eat lunch and then hit the road to go to someone's house to teach a private yoga session.
Yep.
And then come home and walk my dog and then go into my golf simulator and play 9 holes at Augusta.
Yeah.
So the flexible schedule is great. And depending on what I have going on, being able to reschedule with a client in yoga to push them back a day or two because I have a deadline to meet with a writing project for someone. It's great to be able to mesh all of those. Primarily word of mouth is what I use for advertising.
Yeah.
I've done print advertising. I bought online ads. But again, because people around here don't quite get what Yoga for Golfers is, it's having a good session with someone and then hitting the golf course and people going, wow, your swing has never looked so smooth, mm-hmm. or you've never seemed so happy on a golf course, or you're usually limping by the back nine.
All right.
It's like, well, they've learned how to take care of their body. And then they hand that person one of my business cards.
Yeah.
And so it's golf instructors, because I'm not a golf instructor. It's golf instructors referring their clients to me because they've said, I've taken you as far as you can go until your balance gets better. I've taken you as far as you can go until you have more thoracic mobility. Phil can help you with that. So when you ask me about what's my typical week like, fortunately for neither of my careers, either yoga or media, in neither cases does it involve chasing clients.
Right.
But I'm fortunate to be very established in both realms. Someone just getting into it, that's going to need to be part of their week, is the lion chasing a meal.
Right.
And how do you want to do that? Do you want to work in a yoga studio? Do you want to make those relationships with golf instructors? What is going to be that marketing? But it needs, you need to have a plan. You can't just rely on word of mouth, because I've been fortunate to get to that position.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the certifications go, the Catherine Roberts Human Performance for Athletes, what kind of what is the, I guess, process for that certification? How many hours, that kind of stuff?
The hours for the Human Performance for Athletes was, doing the math real quick, it's 40 contact hours, and then there's coursework that you do that you submit subsequent to that,
right?
To get your certification for her, from her. And it was very similar for both the level one and level two with yoga for golfers certification. Uh-huh. Neither Human Performance for Athletes nor Yoga for Golfers is a certification like cosmetology,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, the state has to. No, those are something that is self-governed.
Right.
And she is the premier provider of Yoga for Golfers. And so her stamp of approval means something. And if someone goes to yogaforgolfers.com and puts in their zip code, it will tell them who's the closest one who's been certified by Catherine Roberts. Right. But it's not something that you have to pay the state or prove to the state. So it's really a marketing piece more than it is a regulatory certification.
Right. Like a license would be for a nurse.
Correct. And that's one of the sort of dangerous things about yoga. In most municipalities, all it takes to be a yoga instructor is to say, I am a yoga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get people who I'm sure mean well and have done well at yoga and now want to share that, but they've not gone through the certification that someone like myself, I went through yoga certification. I'm a CYT 200 before I even did Yoga for Golfers.
Okay.
And that is a much more intensive training.
All right.
So someone who's a CYT 200, 500, 1000, whatever, you don't want someone who just says, yeah, I'm a yoga instructor. It's like, well, what's your training? What are your certification? I've been doing yoga for years. They might not have been trained on like safe alignment, and they may be great, but you're just taking a chance.
Yeah. Let's talk about that CYT 200. What is the difference between the 2, 5, and 1,000, like you mentioned? And
it's hours.
CYT.
So 200 means I have 200 classroom hours, mm-hmm, of training.
Okay.
And then someone 500, it's another 500 hours. Or
right.
1,000, it's 1,000 hours on top of what they've already done.
Okay.
So someone who's 1,000 hour, they are so committed. They have done so much work. Their level of knowledge is far surpasses mine in whatever area they've focused on.
Right.
200, you still have an area of focus, but obviously you can't go as deep in 200 hours. Someone who's running a yoga studio, who's teaching multiple group classes a week, and is running yoga workshops, they're probably going to be at 500 or 1,000. And that's what you want to look for.
Yeah.
200 is basically the community college level. 500 would be bachelor's. And then 1,000 is, that's a graduate level person.
Yeah, I like that analysis of breaking those down by hours and degrees. What is it that you just absolutely love about being able to share your knowledge of golf and yoga and combining those two to be personally rewarding, or, you know, working with clients and, you know, the passion for your job?
It's the feedback you get from a client when they come back and tell you, I just had a great round of golf. And more often than not, it isn't, I shaved 3 strokes off my score. It's, I just had a great round. I had a good time. My body felt good. I was able to hit repeatedly the way I wanted to hit. I was consistent. I played well. Because in golf, you can catch some bad breaks or make a poor decision that, oh, I didn't realize that was a false front on that green, but I hit the shot I wanted to hit.
Yeah.
So there wasn't something wrong with my swing or my body. And those are the rounds of golf that people come back to me and say, my body felt great. I was striping it. I can't wait to get out again. Because once you get to the point where you can have a consistent, repeatable, efficient swing, then you can stop thinking about that and start focusing on, okay, on this hole, I really need to come in from the right. Because if you come into from the left, that brings that trap into play.
Right.
And thinking your way around the golf course. And that's what a golf instructor will tell someone. It's like, I can't fix these 6 inches between your ears. I can help you with your swing. I can give you fundamentals, but then you've got to play smart, and that's up to you. And I can give you advice on that. But getting to that point of playing smart, it's hard to get there if you're wondering, why do I slice it? Or why can't I hit 2 good shots in a row? Or why do I have these strings of blow up holes?
Right.
So once you have the sound fundamentals and you understand how balance and mobility and stability and breath work and mental focus are such a critical part of the game, and then can forget about that, because you need to understand it and it become ingrained so you can stop thinking about it. Then you can think about what is specific to this golf shot that you're over right now. And you're not thinking about stance and posture and grip. You're thinking about wind and carry and ball flight and what can I do to maximize my odds of success on this hole. So helping people get to that point of enjoying golf so then they can make that leap is what's so rewarding.
Yeah, I think that's pretty important, to be able to go out on the course and have a good time and not hurt and not have your feet hurt or your back hurt the next day and wake up and be like, oh, I can't golf today because I'm so sore and tight and bothered by it.
Well, I had a client who, he was super fit. He was a runner.
Okay.
And also a weightlifter, but did not move in more than one plane of motion. So he would run and he would lift weights to help him with running. And the weights, the lifts that he did were all about that plane of motion and not about golf, where you're moving in 3 planes of motion.
Right.
So even though he was very athletic, super fit, amazing endurance, his rounds of golf would finish with him hardly being able to walk. That he'd be so sore. And I was able to help him with hip mobility, thoracic mobility. And he had a regular Sunday game, and he's telling me, I get back from my Sunday game and my wife asks me, why didn't you golf today? The weather was great. He said, I did. I said, well, you don't look like it. He said, because he'd never come back from his Sunday game walking like a normal person. She could tell he had just played 18 holes because of the way he walked. And he played with a cart.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not like he's walking 18, just playing with a cart. He would be stiff and hunched over, and yoga got him to the point where his wife could tell the difference just by looking at him after 18 holes, that this is a transformation.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So what does that perfect client look like, either in the standard yoga or the golf for yoga space, as far as a new client coming to you? What are you looking for as far as, you know, maybe them doing stuff on their own in between sessions, or the knowledge?
That's the key, that doing stuff on their own between sessions. Here's where I overlap considerably with a golf instructor. I'm not a golf instructor. I'm a yoga instructor, but I like to work with golf instructors. It's a lot easier if someone says, I was told by my golf instructor, this is the biomechanical thing I need to work on.
Right.
And say, okay, I can help you with that. And that's what I'm looking for. Someone who has that level of commitment that they're already taking golf lessons, or they're clearly spending money on their golf game, that they have clubs that aren't 30 years old, that they have at least no more than 5 or 6 years old, that they're committed to golf. Because if it's something that they're thinking is going to be a quick fix, like if I can have an hour session and you fix my balance, my golf game will get better. So you're not going to see improvements in an hour.
Right.
You need to be able to commit to at least a couple months of working with me, just as if you went to a golf instructor who said, I can fix you in one session, run from that golf instructor. A golf instructor who says, if you commit to working with me, you will see a difference in a few months.
Right.
And I'm not going to promise to shave strokes, but I'm going to make you a better golfer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking for, that person who's willing to commit and not just, I want a session. And I can tell because I don't sell individual sessions. I have a starter pack, which is right. a single session where I kind of take you through, this is what Yoga for Golfers is, and here's what my expectations are. And if that's aligned with you, then you can buy a package. And the packages are a minimum of 8 sessions.
Yep.
And if you aren't willing to commit to 8 sessions, then this probably isn't for you. And some people may have the best of intentions of making the most of those 8 sessions, but I can tell in 4 or 5 sessions, if every time is like starting from scratch because they're not doing anything in the week since we last talked,
yeah.
they're not going to renew at the end of that 8 weeks. And I don't do a hard sell. It's like, okay, well, give me 8 more weeks, because I know they're not there yet. Maybe someday right. they will be. Maybe they'll circle back to me. But the students who the second week, the third week are saying, okay, that one move you gave me, when I'm doing that, I'm feeling it here instead of here. Is that right? It's like, okay, they're talking about what they've been doing in the last week. They have questions. That's someone who at the end of that 8 weeks is going to be excited about the progress they've made, and they're going to want another 8 weeks.
Yeah. What kind of misconceptions do you think people might have about golf or yoga for golfers, or just yoga in general?
Yoga in general, I think people don't realize how physically challenging it is. People who don't do yoga, I think, have a perception of you are just breathing while you're doing things you can already do. So if I can do a handstand or I can do splits, I'm going to breathe while I'm doing the splits, and don't realize how physically challenging it is
yeah.
and the progress you can make in all these areas that I keep listing: mobility, stability, balance, and then the just general health benefits of that, let alone specific to whether you want to improve with golf or tennis or baseball or whatever you're working on. Until someone actually does yoga, and that's most of my clients have never done a real yoga class before, those who are Yoga for Golfers. Their referral or their wife has said, I do yoga, I think that would help you with your golf game. And to get her to shut up, they'll come to me and do this one yoga session. At the end of that starter pack, they're saying, I can't believe I'm sweating. It's like, yeah.
Right.
You breathe, you activate those muscles, you engage your core. I don't think people realize how hard yoga can be. Flip side of that is, I don't think they realize how therapeutic it can be, mm-hmm. especially something like yin yoga, where it is just very relaxing. You don't break a sweat in yin yoga. It really gives you an opportunity to lengthen your muscles, help them recover. And any yoga class is going to have degrees of that. The physical challenge, but then also the therapeutic value of yoga in general, and specifically for Yoga for Golfers, is I think a misconception or a blind spot for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. So as we were talking with those hours and certifications and, you know, the stamp of approvals, is there any type of professional development that yoga instructors do throughout the year to keep their certification or kind of look out?
Absolutely. It's a combination of maintaining certification along with just professionalism.
Right.
And if someone really wants to be a good instructor, they're going to keep taking other people's classes because I take yoga. But then there are certifications that you can get. For instance, Yin is a separate certification on top of my 200 hour.
Right.
I also have that certification specific to Yin. To continue to be certified by Catherine Roberts, there's professional development hours that you have to maintain every year, which can be going back to Scottsdale, or she has online sessions. And there's all kinds of online workshops that you can do for professional development, either to get additional certifications or, again, just for to be a professional.
Yeah. What are some of the industry trends then with that professional development, maybe in the last couple of years you've seen just in general dealing with yoga or golf?
Well, with yoga, I think there's a broader trend to make it more professional so that you don't have as many people who are just hanging out there shingle. But I teach yoga to educate the public, but also sort of weed out the people who aren't getting certified. Mm-hmm. And also to help people with the non-yoga part of running a business, the marketing, the accounting, and all of that, the backroom stuff that if you want to run a business, you need to do. You know, getting registered as a business, even if you're not certified as a yoga instructor, are you registered for a business? Is that required in your municipality? Do you have to register your business with the city, county, state? It depends on where you live. And so there's a greater push towards that. Yoga for golfers, it's just a growing awareness as it becomes more common.
Right.
Professional golfers have used yoga and functional fitness for years. And I don't know that they've promoted it, but it's becoming more common for them to see, like Amanda Balionis. And now she's married. I noticed this for the first time yesterday on the golf tournament, that when they went to Amanda, she's now Amanda Renner.
Yep.
I guess she got married, but she's on CBS, the woman who does most of the interviews as players come off after their round.
Yep.
She's huge into yoga. And so she will have articles in golf magazines with her yoga tips, which I think normalizes yoga. The problem I have, not with her, God bless her for doing it, is the same sort of issue I have with Blair O'Neill on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
Blair O'Neill is a young, super fit woman, 60-year-old golfer who's never done a real dynamic warm-up before in their life. Uh-huh. They see Blair O'Neill do something, they try to do it, and they hurt themselves.
Right.
Or they think, I'm doing it the way Blair O'Neill is. It's like, your body is not doing anything that Blair O'Neill's body is doing right now.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see an older golfer and a younger golfer, male, like a Brooks Koepka, showing here's the yoga I do to recover from my killer workouts.
Right.
Or and I don't know if an older golfer like a Fred Funk does yoga, but I would like to see a Fred Funk or a Freddie Couples, or any old golfer named Fred. So here's accessible yoga moves that I do to maintain the body I have to play golf. I wouldn't want Gary Player, because Gary Player would set unrealistic expectations for other 80-year-olds out there. It's like, don't try to do what Gary does.
Gary's on top of it.
He's a freak of nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's been working on this all 80 years of his life. But so yeah, just to take that step beyond, okay, yoga's becoming a little more mainstream, but let's kick it beyond the Amanda Renners and the Blair O'Neills, who we already know or would assume do yoga, to the Rory McIlroys and the Bernard Longers.
Yep. And the older, that older group of the average golfer as well. So throughout your time to becoming where you are now professionally in yoga, is there anything that you wish you could have gone back and changed during your path to where you are now?
And that's a great question. Because there are different choices that knowing now what I, if I knew then what I knew now, I might make different choices, but I really like where I'm at. And I don't know if I would be here if I hadn't made some of those mistakes. Having said that,
maybe just getting into yoga maybe a little earlier on in your life.
And I say that almost every time I meet a new yoga student, for whether it's private yin yoga or yoga for golfers, is if I'd have done this in high school, I'm confident I would have gone to college on athletic scholarships instead of academic scholarships.
Yeah.
Because just my mental focus and my flexibility would have been so much better, because I'm old enough to remember how they taught us to stretch and how completely wrong that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stretching we do in yoga, that is something that's mainstream now. The principles of yoga, when it comes to lengthening the muscles and adding more mobility to the connective tissue, is the way people are taught in college now, who are going to be kinesiologists or phys ed instructors, that those are sound principles. We were just doing the entirely wrong things to our joints and our muscles when I was in high school. But then even after that, I would be a much better golfer now and a much healthier person had I started yoga sooner.
Yeah. So professionally with your yoga practice, where do you kind of see yourself down the road 5 to 10 years from now?
I love media consulting, and honestly, that, and I also do some freelance writing. That pays the bills much better than teaching yoga. I don't want to give the misconception that you're going to get rich as a yoga instructor. There's a handful of people who have gotten rich just because of their brand and the appearance fees they're able to command at yoga festivals and such. But if you really want to commit to yoga as a profession and running a studio, you can make a living at it. But 10 years from now, to be in a position where I'm just teaching yoga because I like to teach yoga.
That's good. Yeah.
And I don't need the other income that I'm taking care of. And so I'm just helping people maximize their potential with their body, whether that's for golf or just for quality of life.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So let's look at some different age brackets of people that might be interested in getting into becoming a yoga instructor. As far as a high school student, you know, maybe they've done a little bit of yoga here and there, and they think it's something that they're really into right now. What advice would you have for a high school student who says, you know, in 5 years, I want to be a yoga instructor?
I would encourage them to broaden their educational background as much as they can, whether that's going to a four-year school or a community college. And I'm not necessarily saying get a degree.
Right.
I'm saying expose yourself to that diversity of knowledge. One, it may expose you, I want to do something other than yoga, but it also may expose to you that no, yoga is what I love more. But also having that breadth of knowledge for me helps me relate to my students, because I have students who are engineers. I have students who are housewives. I have students who are all kinds of professions that if all I knew was yoga, or if all I knew is the human body,
right,
I wouldn't be able to communicate them in a way that would connect with them. So yeah, broaden your background. And then in that vein, also expose yourself to as many different types of yoga as you can.
Okay.
That if you love yoga because you're doing vinyasa flow, start taking some yin classes. Start taking some Ashtanga classes. Take the different kinds of yoga, and you may find there's something I love more, or there's a way I can combine two different kinds of yoga and find something that others haven't done before. And go to different yoga studios, because you may love yoga because you have an awesome yoga instructor, just as you might love the piano because you have an awesome piano instructor. But do you want to be a piano player all your life? Or is it about this person is just so inspiring? So really expose yourself to those different studios, different types of yoga. And that will also help you figure out, how do I want to apply this? Do I want to be a private yoga instructor? Because if you do, you might want to follow through on that higher education.
Yeah.
And get a degree in kinesiology or athletic training, because that's going to make you more appealing to the elite athletes who do yoga if you also are mm-hmm. an athletic trainer, massage therapist. You provide these other things
right.
beyond just the yoga. So stacking those skills is going to make you much more employable, give you a better chance for success. And as I look at the people who really are just 100% of what their income is because they are in the world of yoga, it's because they have those stacked skills. There's a lot of people that I've seen who they're a yoga instructor, either private yoga or they run a studio or both, that supplement that income because they have a spouse who has a good job with benefits.
Right.
It gives them the luxury of being able to do that. But if you want to be able to be self-sufficient, independent, start stacking those skills with something that meshes with yoga.
Mm-hmm. I think too, like you kind of mentioned before, the backroom skills of just maybe taking some business classes and looking mm-hmm. at, you know, how to do your taxes or how to do mm-hmm. your payroll or that kind of stuff as well would definitely help if you're trying to open your own facility.
And if you get to the point where you're hiring other people to do the backroom stuff, you want to understand it well enough to make sure you're hiring the right people and that they are doing their job right.
Right. Yeah. Someone that maybe just be getting into becoming an instructor, you know, they've got their certifications, they've done their hours. Let's say they're 3 to 6 months in as being a new instructor. Mm-hmm. Advice would you have for them as far as things that they should be focusing on?
They're going to learn. One thing you learn doing yoga is a balance pose, particularly like an inversion, like a handstand, headstand, crow, is until you fall, you're never going to be able to do that balance pose. People try to, I'm just going to jump into it, I'm going to float it, and then I'm going to be balanced. You have to find out where that tipping point is. You have to go past it and fall over.
Yep.
You're never going to get there just right until you've fallen over and then know what it feels like. And learning to be okay with failure and realizing that failure is the only way you're going to have the opportunity for growth is part of yoga. So hopefully they would understand that already, but it doesn't hurt to have a reminder that as a new teacher, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to be cueing people to, grab your right foot with your right hand when you meant to say left hand.
Right.
And then everyone's doing it wrong. It's like, that's on me, instead of, oh no, now they think I'm incompetent. I don't know what I'm doing. They're never going to come back to my class again. Acknowledge it, own it, and move on. And you're going to make bigger mistakes than that. And so being willing to make those mistakes and not try to be perfect those first 3 to 6 months. And you see that with new yoga instructors, because you'll have a lesson plan written out sometimes. And sometimes it's, you're doing it off the cuff because you've done it enough. You don't need to have it written down. They will have word for word what they're doing for their whole 50-minute class written down. And you're not looking at the people out there. You're not noticing that, okay, this person is drifting off, or this person's alignment is not safe. They think they are. They need to move that foot over a little bit. And they're just locked in on, here's my script. Make mistakes.
Yeah.
Trim that script down. Get off the script. Interact with your class. Have fun with it. Because if you're just going to stress yourself out over trying to be perfect with it, you're going to get so burned out so fast.
Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting to think about that. And that goes, I mean, that's kind of just like being a teacher. You have your lesson plan of what you're teaching in class, and then all of a sudden you go off on a tangent, or somebody needs extra help on a certain topic, like we're doing CPR in class, and we needed to spend an extra time on hand positioning today versus something else. So I think being able to make mistakes and own up to it, I think that's a pretty good good one to have.
And your class will respect you for it.
Yeah.
Because they know when you've made a mistake. And if you pretend you didn't, they're going to start losing trust and respect for you.
Yeah. Do you have any books that you recommend for people that are interested in getting into yoga, or maybe that are wanting to become yoga instructors?
Is A Life Worth Breathing by Max Strom, Strom, a yoga master's handbook of strength, grace, and healing. Is a very accessible introduction to the world of yoga. And it's not a yoga instruction manual that it has. Here are different sequences and poses, right, even though it references that. It's more about understanding what yoga does to the body, what the mental and physical and emotional benefits of yoga are. And I think would give someone a much better understanding of what is the world of yoga, whether they want to practice yoga or teach yoga. It's a great accessible introduction.
Yeah, I like that. And as far as likes and dislikes for being a yoga instructor, one of our athletic trainers came up with this question for us about, if you dislike blank, then this is not the right career path for you. And as an athletic trainer, she said, if you dislike feet, then being an athletic trainer is not for you, because you're touching and wrapping ankles and doing all that stuff. So if you dislike blank, being a yoga instructor is not the right career path for you.
Well, the feet thing would apply too. Because most yoga classes are barefoot.
Yep.
And almost every pose starts from the ground up. And you need to make sure someone's feet are in proper alignment before you look at where are their knees, where are their hips.
Yep.
And so, yeah, a lot of foot stuff. But also, and this is kind of a two sides of a coin, if you don't have a lot of patience, you need to have a lot of patience to be a yoga instructor, because there will be slow progress for a lot of people, and they'll get frustrated with you. You will feel like you are saying, cueing a pose the best way possible, and then trying multiple different ways to cue it, and there'll be a student who just does not get it.
Yep.
So you need to have the patience to meet them where they're at. But the other side of that coin is yoga does teach patience.
Right.
So you can get there. But yeah, if you're very judgmental, don't have a lot of patience, yoga is going to be a tough haul for you.
Yeah. And if you do like blank, then this is the right career path for you.
If you like looking inwards, introspection, understanding yourself, understanding how does my mind work? How does my body work? being alone with yourself, being alone with your thoughts, being in your own head in a good way, not getting up in your head and overthinking something.
Right.
Because this yoga helps you get past that. So yeah, just learning about yourself. I would say self-awareness over self-help.
Okay.
So yeah, the body awareness and mind awareness is amazing. It's just tremendous how much you learn about yourself.
Yeah. Last couple questions. Thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing.
Glad to do it.
Knowledge. Do you have a mantra or quote that you like to live your life through?
Now. One word, now.
Okay.
Because it can be applied in so many ways. If you are upset about what happened yesterday or anxious about what could happen tomorrow, just take care of now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be somebody else a year from now or someplace else a year from now or 10 years from now, start now.
Yep. I like
that. So just keep coming back to now.
Yep. Focusing on the present and doing what you can now to help yourself out in the future. As far as getting a hold of you social media wise, do you want to plug any of your sites or website to get a hold of you, as far as if someone wanted to learn more about yoga for golf or just yoga in general?
Sure. Yoga for golfers in Kansas City is yfginkc.com. yfginkc.com. You can contact me through that or just email me phatterman@gmail.com or yfginkc@gmail.com.
Perfect. And then I know you're on Facebook. Are you on any other type of social media sites?
I am not. And I'll be honest with you, I don't do a lot on my Facebook because, again, I was putting a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
And no response. And I think part of that is most of my Yoga for Golfers target audience is not Facebook.
Not Facebook. Yeah, that makes
sense. They're not on social media. But certainly people who are in Facebook would not be dismissed out of hand. I will still work with them. They just have to work a little harder to find me. So they can find me on Facebook or, again, just go to the website.
Website. Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you so much for this hour and spending your time with us, sharing your knowledge about yoga and golf.
Sure, Drew.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.